I think everybody's here already.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Kathy's there.
Oh, Kathy's on it. Oh, there she is.
Good morning. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. I'll let you go.
You're good to go.
Okay.
Kathy, you didn't get a copy of that little sheet that I just sent out to these other guys. It just had a, and I'll leave it here.
Okay.
It had a list of some scenarios. Hey, good morning, Bob.
Okay.
Hello.
So did we wake you up too early? Nope, I lost you. There we go.
Hello, no.
Now you're good.
Good.
Did you get that email we just sent out a few minutes ago?
Yeah.
Okay. I just did a rough calculations of what it would be. I'll wait for Mike to come on.
Kathy, what's going on up at the farm?
I have no idea. Why? What are you seeing?
Somebody with a orange vest. I called yesterday, last night, because there were a whole slew of lights going up and down the trail. Like vehicles where they shouldn't be. And Rhea?
About 6:30 or so?
This is 7:15.
Well, earlier there was it was in the night sky, there was a trail of satellites at 6:47, I think, that went across the it's a spectacular event. I think 40, like 40 of that, of those commute.
Really?
It looks like a string of lights. It was on the night before I saw it. It's unbelievable. It's like something of a sci-fi. Could have been people going out there to see that.
Yeah. Bob, Sue Ellen emailed me your thing. So hold on one second. Let me just go get your paper.
And when I watched that thing on Tuesday night, and it stretched right across the sky, and it just was one light after the other. It was almost like a string of white Christmas lights shooting across the sky.
Who were they?
They were communications, a string of communication satellites that were passing over Connecticut. They had passed over Monday, Tuesday, and then last night. And then they must change where they're going. But they're low enough that you know the moonlight or something shining off of them, you could see them. And they were one right after the other. It was like one string of lights going right across over your head across the sky. Lasted about 3 minutes.
Yeah, well,
it was a great light show.
Well, these look like they were on our Heritage Farm trail.
Oh.
So,
maybe a group of hikers night hiking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Night hiking.
Don't know anything.
Well, not my cup of tea either, Mike, but.
Nope.
Okay. Hey, Mike, did you get that little email we just sent out a couple minutes ago?
I didn't, but I wasn't looking either.
All right. I did a quick scenario of what a tax, what the impact would be if you did a $10,000 increase over 5 years, or a $5,000 increase over 5 years each year, as to what the amount of revenue that would be, you know, basically not lost, but not brought in.
Yep.
And then at the very end is how much of a reduction in taxes that an individual veteran would get based on the 361 that we currently have listed.
Yep.
It's just a basis to work on. Because if you start off, oh wait, do you see it, Mike? I don't know if you see it there or not.
No, it hasn't popped up yet. I've got it on my calculator here. It's $79,420 is the $5,500 total. If we were going to implement it.
I totally disregarded a one shot deal.
Well, I just wanted to see how much it was, and then if you divide that by five, it's $15,000 a year, something like that.
Yeah, based on a 40 mil now, it would be 1,000 would be 10,108.
10,108. Oh, wait a second.
That's 1,000 a year. I did 1,000 and then 2,000. 2,000 is 20,216. Based on a 40 mil.
5 times 40. Oh, wait a second. I got to do it. So we're talking, what, 1,100 a year kind of thing?
Well, year one, if you did it what they wanted, that's 2,000 a year, and that's 14. I think that's 70% of that is 14 times 40 mils times 361. So that's where I got the 20,213.
Yeah, I just real quickly hit it at, say, instead of 5,500, I put 1.1 instead of 5.5. 1.1 times 40 times 361 comes out to 15,884 for the first year if you just did a 5-year phase in. So you're looking at 50 almost 16,000 a year increase.
Yeah. And that's a lot.
Well, that's actually, well, it's a lot, but it's not the 79,000 that it would be if you did it all in one bump.
Oh yeah, no. And you can do it. And the other thing I was looking at, I don't know what I did. Well, my numbers are wrong. But this year is going to be the hardest year.
Yep.
I think. Because next year, you're going to have reval. And more than likely, just based upon value increases, your average residential property values would probably show about a 20% increase. Mm-hmm. Commercial is obviously maybe half of that, maybe 10. Yep. So our mill rate, which is going to be somewhere around 40, which should drop down to somewhere in the mid 30s.
Yeah.
So these figures would be on the high side, and it'd be the dollar impact starting year two would be that much less, maybe 15% less than based upon what we're using at 40 mill rate.
Yeah, you know, when I look at reval, you know, what happens in reval is the mill rate keeps climbing up, and then when you reval, the value of the house goes up and the mill rate drops.
Right.
But in that middle, it's all the same. The dollar value that would cost to run the town. It's make-believe numbers.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is. Yeah. It's just
because as you cross the middle, that's what we pay, or that's what it costs to run the town. And as you do this, it makes no difference because the middle point stays the same.
the cost keeps going up no matter what the mill rate is.
Yeah.
It's but, just yeah. that it's spread out differently.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes
that's the only thing. Know, yeah.
It puts the commercial people back in line with the residential when you do that. Right.
But since you're only giving them $10,000 worth of
their property goes
deduction. Yeah, even though the property went up, you're still only getting $10,000.
Right. So
it would be a little
wash yeah, almost.
Bob, go ahead. Just jump in. This is wide open.
Who's this phone? Who's on this subcommittee?
It's a 7-member committee. Barry Stearns is the vice chair.
No, I mean, who's on this? Who's with us right now?
The one that we are. That's it.
Well, there's somebody else with a phone number. It ends in 2471.
That's Kathy.
That's Kathy? Okay.
My internet just went down, so I just called in.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's Kathy taking notes.
Okay, listen. Yep. I'm concerned that we're only talking about revenue. Or the impact will be financially. We're not looking at the basis for even the request.
I'm looking at it, Bob. I'm in favor of the request because I think, you know, it's a good thing to do. It's an appropriate thing to do. But I'm also looking at we got to get it through a budget. And how much is it going to cost if we have to? If we vote to put that in, then that's in the budget regardless. And something else might have to come out. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, but when I was in Highland Park Market yesterday, some baron had a car that was probably worth as much as my house. And Adam Teller said something in our last meeting when we were setting this up, said, if we do anything, it ought to be based on some kind of income level base. And the state of Connecticut has so many general statutes applying this whole issue. I think we should look at that too.
You do make a good point about a veteran that's making $250,000 a year might not, doesn't warrant having that exemption. And I don't know how. You know, if you're doing it here's my both sides to that coin. If you're doing it as a thank you to the veterans, then every veteran should get it that served. If you're not doing it as a thank you, as you're doing it as some other kind of thing, then income should play into it.
Right.
But which way do we want to go? Do you think that we have a bunch of veterans in town that make $200,000, you know, that kind of thing?
No, but there are different kinds of veterans. There are veterans who actually served in combat, and some that are disabled, and there are others that, you know, are veterans because they signed up like I wanted to, but couldn't get in because of my hearing problem. Yep. So I don't know. Should I be as if I were serving as a behind a desk somewhere safe? Do I get entitled to the same benefits as somebody who's in the infantry in Vietnam?
The problem with that is for the assessor to implement something like that. The cost would be more than it's worth to implementing the program. I mean, it'd be extremely hard to do. That's why the state of Connecticut one and one that's currently in place, the deduction is just across the board.
And it's $1,500, right?
If you serve and you received an honorable discharge, then you're eligible to receive the tax credit or abatement, however you want to do it. I think the only way to do it is effectively is to do it that way. And that's why I put, when you figure costs, that's why I, in my little sheet, I just kind of did what the amount of a dollar impact is per veteran based on the 361 we have here. And it's, you know.
What about an application? What's so hard about telling those people who are veterans who want some kind of break to complete the simple application?
Well, they do now. You have to apply. You don't automatically get these. You have to apply. You have to submit your discharge with PD-14, and that allows you to do that. However, how you served and where you served, there's no in your discharge papers and this and that. There's no documentation on that. The only documentation is that you did serve, the period you served, and did you receive an honorable discharge, and what rank you were, et cetera. So there's nothing there that, as far as where you served, how you served, whether you were in a combat zone or not, there's nothing there that implements that. So the issue is, the only thing you could possibly do if you want to do it is income based.
Yeah.
If you serve, you serve, whether you are now making a lot of money or you're not, that's the issue. And that has been the basis of this type of a tax abatement right along. And I know where you're coming from, but that's the difficult one to implement. If,
I just don't think just because somebody technically served, they are entitled to anything extra special unless they meet the other requirements, like being disabled to some extent or having served in combat, etc. I just don't get it. What about firefighters and volunteers for that? Are they entitled to the same kind of benefits now?
No, no, military veterans. One of the things that plays into it in those years that you serve, be it 2, 3, or 4 or whatever, you're in the military service, and in relation to what anybody else is doing, you're probably at a 10% pay, or it was here. Now it's a little higher. But there are sacrifices that you make that whether you're in combat or not. It's just a different ballgame. Our volunteers, Mike and I have been in the fire department. We all know that we put in untold hours that you're simply you're just not compensated for. You never will. And that's the other side of the coin. And we try and compensate our firefighters for that, but it's minuscule. I don't know what the answer is. And this can only be, quite honestly, the only way it can work is either all or nothing. And it doesn't have to be. Currently it's at four, between the state and what the town has, it's a total of 4,500. One other way of looking at it, the request was for $10,000 increase. If you were to bring the total amount to $10,000 over 5 years, then you could use the first scenario, which is a really small amount of money. It starts off with a little over $10,000 or $12,000, whatever the mill rate's going to be. And goes up from there. That would bring you to a total of $10,000.
What did Barry request?
He requested an additional 10,000 on top of the 40. That's what it appears to read, the 45. So,
whoa. What was his reasoning? Did he say why?
I don't have a copy of the letter with me. It wasn't in our packet.
I don't remember.
No, I don't either. And I don't either. I think it has to do with the amount. It really is dealing with what the actual benefit is per individual. Right now, if you take the $4,500, take 70% of that, that's about $3,200 times the mill rate. I don't know what the hell. Mike, can you punch that out a second? I don't have that in front of me.
Hang on 1 second. I'm just working on one other thing here for a second. Okay.
Yeah. So,
What did you want to know?
Currently, it's $4,500, and 70% of that, I think, is $33,200 or something like that.
Okay, 4.5 times 40 times 0.8 or 7. What'd you say? What percentage?
Well, it's 70%. It's 70% of the $4,500. That's what the assessment is.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's well, actually, yeah. 4.5 times 0.7 times 40.
Yep.
They get about $126 is what it works out to be.
That's currently what it is.
And if we go to 11,001, they wanted 55, so we go 1,100. So that's it's got to be more. It's 1,100 times 40. So times 360. Yeah, it's going to cost the town about $15,000 if we do 1/5 in the first year. And that's without the 70% figuring. That's just right off the top.
Right.
So if you took the 70%, you're probably down closer to 12, like you say, or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
But it's still figured on what your assessment is, not what the
dollar is.
So right. Based on the $1,100 the first year, it's going to cost the town $1,584 roughly, or $1,588 roughly.
Is that assuming that every veteran gets that?
Yep, that's assuming everybody files for it and everybody gets the $1,100 the first year deducted from their assessment.
So if they don't all apply, it'll be less.
Yeah, if they all don't apply, whatever, every time somebody comes off, in the first year, it's $60
right.
per person, per veteran. And right. the next year it's $60, and the next year it's, you know, it's 120, then 180 kind of thing. So it goes up by 15,000, almost 16,000 each year, till it reaches 79,000, which is the total 5,500 for everybody, which will be even bigger then because the mill rate will be bigger.
I don't need to be a pain in the butt here, but philosophically, I still have a problem recommending or supporting a change. I like what Barry has done for the town. I like all good veterans who have sacrificed, but I can't help but philosophically have a problem with the fact that, you know, Bob, remember when we first started teaching, we could have made more money,
yeah.
right?
Sweeping floors at Pratt. Yeah, you could have made more money sweeping floors at Pratt & Whitney easily.
Correct.
You're right. You're absolutely. That's true. Yes. Very true.
And then the Teacher Enhancement Act went in to make things a more favorable playing ground so the teachers would stay in the field, as opposed to getting out and going into private industry where they could make a lot more money.
Right. When did that happen?
Oh, what was that?
That happened 3 years after I left teaching.
Yeah, it was too. Yeah, that was when that helped us in the fire service, because when they bumped the teachers up, they bumped us up, because now we had a different comparison point. But teachers went from low 20s to, at that time, probably doubled their pay over a couple of year period.
And if you relate that to the military, when the draft ended and it became all volunteers, that's when they did some significant increases in their pay.
Mm-hmm.
Just to base, just to get people to stay.
Lieutenant Major right now in the Air Force makes 104, 120, something like that.
Yeah, but a major's been there. To be a major, you've got at least 10 years service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you're up there.
But I mean, that's still, that's competitive with the private sector now.
Yeah, now it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Particularly the Air Force. The Air Force, which is highly technical. Yeah, side of it.
I think it goes by GS number, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, he's a full.
Major is probably a GS 12 or 13.
Yeah,
maybe.
Something like that. Yeah.
I philosophically, I don't have a problem paying a little more so a veteran can pay a little less, because they did it. And I got lucky. I was in the draft lottery back then, and I had 331 as a number. So they didn't want me. They didn't ask me to serve. And my father was very happy because he was a colonel in the Air Force, and he didn't like the fact that the politicians were running the war in Vietnam, not the military officers. And he was very happy when I had a high draft number, and I felt very lucky. And, you know, I have no problem taking care of somebody that took care of me. And, you know, if I have to pay a few extra bucks, it's not a bother to me. My big concern is, you know, the 15,000, you know, if we put it in, or the 16,000, if we put it in, we have to be willing to say that we're willing to cut something else when the budget fails two times or three times, and stand behind what we do. And that's the tough part, because
that's the real tough part. And when I was looking at this thing too, I really felt that if we do it, year one, this year, I would only increase it by 1,000 instead of two. That would really make it.
I was figuring one fifth of the 5,500, which is $1,100.
Yeah, exactly.
That still comes out to 1588.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Yeah. That's 1,000, right?
1,100. One fifth to 55.
No. I'm looking at. We had Dad requested
10,000. They're already at 45.
Over 5 years.
Yeah. And so that's 1,100 a year.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but if we just do, if year one, you drop down in half, and then pick up, and then the following year you go two, and then at the last year, make up the difference. But
I think a straight 1,100 to 1/5 a year, if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And then each year, you know that your budget's going to be increased by, for all intents and purposes, $16,000 each year.
$16,000. Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, if I'm not opposed to doing it at all. And I'm willing to stand up and say
the problem is, as you say, what do we give up to do that? I mean,
if we got to have a level budget, you know, we're not going to have a level budget because of contracts from town employees and teachers and everything else that's got a negotiated thing. So that's going up to probably 2% or 2.5% across the board.
And our grand list is only going up 1.4.
Right. So that's not going to cover it.
Not quite. So there's going to be some sort of a tax increase.
Right. And, you know, if we, you know, it's going to mean, you know, people, the taxes never stay even. Even when we vote four times, they're not the same as they were last year, because you just can't do that. And people understand that you just can't keep it exactly the same. But probably the 2.5% is what we could get through. And when you look at, you know, you're taking 2.5% for the salaries, and, you know, it doesn't leave a lot left to pay for fuel increases and all the other stuff. And, you know, it all comes down to, are we willing to stand by this? And we really are locking the town into a 5-year program when we accept the first one.
I'm not, personally. I can't.
Can't for 5 years, or can't for the first year?
I can't even do any of this. I don't want to. I'm sorry.
No, let's not. No, that's why we
have. You don't have to be sorry, Bob. Everybody's got the right to their opinion.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different opinion. I'm sort of caught between a rock and a hard spot, because, you know, I qualified this. I had my 3 years in, but that's why it's kind of hard to. For, you know, the amount of money, quite frankly, for me, that it impacts is
$240 a year.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like, you know,
a buck a day.
That's how many pints of blueberries I got to sell. But I mean, it really is not a significant amount of money. But it is on for some people it is, but. Quite honestly, for the majority of veterans that are out there, it isn't. It really isn't. It's just a small thank you. That's about it. I mean, it's real dollars. And
can I ask a question?
Sure.
If somebody applies for this, let's say we did this, and somebody applies for this, and somebody didn't. The person that didn't, can they apply for it the second year?
Yeah, or they can apply anytime.
You can apply anytime.
So even though our rate could be lower the first year, 50 more people could opt in the second year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but...
good point.
That's the point. But the thing of it is, though, the percentage of population of veterans is not going up, it's going down. There are more dying off than there are actual veterans coming online. That statistics. So the chances are of any significant increase is exceedingly slim, just based on current statistics.
The only way it could happen is if we have only half of them applying as it stands right now. But I don't know how many of them are applying.
Yeah. Well, this number has been relatively stable the last few years. It's been in this within 350. Now we're at 361. But as a lot of the older, a large portion of that veteran population is in quote, our age brackets.
Yep.
Did you
include Kathy in that one? you're going to get slapped.
So far. So that's what I'm saying is I don't anticipate that number, you know, growing, unless all hell breaks loose and we have another conflict. But that will be way out, you know.
The number you say, is that the 361, is that the total people? Are those the ones that are applying currently?
Well, all the ones that are on the current assessor's list.
Okay, so we don't know how many veterans there really are in town. We just know how many are on the list.
Yeah, but
for the exemption.
But that's a pretty strong.
I would think most of them, if they're entitled
to
it.
Most of them do that, yeah. It's rare that, you know, there's probably a handful who have never done that.
If we were an affluent town, with money to spare, then I could see following up. But we are not, and we are very concerned about our current budget, and we don't see any green coming either from the state or from the feds or down the road. So personally, unless there is some unbelievable reasoning for why we should pursue this, I personally still I can't go with it because I don't know what the impact will be on our overall.
Mm-hmm.
Question. But did we get any information or did they provide us with any information as to what other towns are providing?
No, I don't have that. And that's the thing. I didn't have a chance to put that together, but
that would be something to look at before we even make a decision for sure. Right. Because if other towns are giving 2,000 or only the 1,500, right, and we're doing 4,500, then we're right, doing something already. But right, if the other towns are doing 10 and we're doing 45, then we're behind the eight ball a little bit. But you know, I'd like to see, you know, towns of similar economic status, so to speak, and size and everything, like Pam brought up when we were talking at the last meeting about the average income or whatever you want to call it of the towns, and see what those towns are doing.
We can just do the region.
We could do Talon County. Wouldn't bother
Talon
me.
Talon County, you get a pretty good sense of.
Yeah, we got Willington, we got Ashford, we got us.
Why don't we do that? Because otherwise, we got nothing to compare it against. To
right,
we are in relation to anybody else.
Yeah.
Hey, Kathy, you've got that right. Could you think CCM or one of those guys would have that data?
We can definitely check. Absolutely.
Worst case, you can just dial 15 phone numbers and ask the assessors in each town what they do. Well, you know, it is. It's, you know, it's not like we're sampling the whole state. It's just the towns.
That data is available. But if we contact, we pay. Listen, we're members to these organizations that have all kinds of data.
Yeah.
It's just maybe if Kathy could get that and for Talon County.
Yep. Absolutely. We'll work on that.
Okay. And get it to us and we can look at distance and make a decision. I know we want to try to get something back before we do finals, but we're going to be screwing around with this budget well beyond February.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I call you?
What's that, Bob?
Yeah, I think that's a good quote, Bob. I think that's for sure.
Yeah. So if we do that, we get this information up, and we'll get in contact again. And this way we can pick up that conversation from that point.
Yeah. I think that's
where we are. And you all feel comfortable with that?
Yeah. That helped me make my decision. Okay. That's for sure.
Right. It helped me too. Okay.
Good. Okay. Now everybody can go out and enjoy this beautiful day.
Isn't it nice out there?
Holy cow.
The winter that wasn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, to see what the hell March is going to bring.
You know, I don't know, but I'm very concerned because of global warming and what it's doing and this, and you know, the last few winters, if you don't believe in global warming, you probably should now.
Well, I think the Midwest does it because they're getting their butts pounded.
Yep.
it's called climate change.
Yes, it is.
And anyways, that was one of my graduate work was in earth sciences. And,
really?
Yeah. And climate change was very much a part of it.
Yep.
And it is so complex.
Oh,
that
half
the people talking about it are talking out of their wrong part of the orifice. Anyways, they really don't know what they're talking about.
I watched
on that cheery note. Gentlemen, I think we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you. And we'll get this information out and we'll pick it up from there. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kathy. Oops, she hung up. No problem. I'll call her on the phone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let me log out.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm wearing on my head?
Yeah.
The headphones with the mic. You might want to try one of those. These are, I've got very bad hearing as well. And these things are amazing because you can set the volume on your computer, kick the volume way up, and they're fantastic. You know, and
that's relatively a good idea.
Cheap. Relatively cheap. I think these were probably like $15.
Really?
Yeah, and they're great because you got the microphone here, and you're blocks out all the sound from the house and everything. And when I get on these meetings, I scoot the volume way up because, you know, it's fantastic.
Oh, I got to get one because my hearing sucks.
Oh yeah, mine is shot from sirens. The sirens have destroyed my hearing. But these, without this, I would be sitting there with my ear up to the speaker on the computer. These make it right in the ear and changes the whole meeting. You don't miss anything.
Oh, good. I have to do it. I have to get it.
Yeah. Best Buys or even Amazon, you can order the silly
things. I can just order it on Amazon. Yeah.
Yep. Little USB plugs right in the front of the computer and it's great.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
It won't help me.
It won't?
No.
Really?
Right. Totally deaf in one side. Completely. That's what kept me out of Vietnam. I have a constant ringing in this ear. I couldn't tell the difference between the constant ring and the test that they administered near first. I couldn't tell the difference. So they said, buddy, we don't want you.
Yep.
I so said, I was trying.
One ear for your wife and one ear for everyone else. Is that how it works?
I just pull my good ear off, but I don't hear anything. I'm better off.
All right.
See you later, guys.
I'm going to log out. Could you log us out, please?
Just log us out. I'm going to watch
because this way I'm not going to do it.
Pretty easy.
No, I don't see it on here.
You just have to put.
Where are you? Well, that's it. Oh, okay. Isn't it in?
In MIDI fall.
Yeah.